Appreciate the good singing. It sounded good. Good to participate in song service. Appreciate the young men singing, leading songs. I want to talk tonight about a good name. The word name from the viewpoint of reputation. A good thing out of Nazareth. That's the name of this lesson. A good thing out of Nazareth. And it's because that expression comes, can a good thing come out of Nazareth? Because of the name that Nazareth had. The reputation that it had. So I want to talk about the word name. You can talk about it from various viewpoints, but I'm picking at it tonight from the viewpoint of reputation. And each one of us should try his best to maintain a good name in the sense of a good reputation. You may say, well, there are just so many variables in life. There's no guarantee about that, and you can't control what everybody's going to say. Well, that's exactly right. But that does not undo the truth that you should strive to have a good name. Regardless of what the other fellow does against your name, twists your name, misrepresents it, lies about your name, you can't control all of that. But you can have a certain concern and program and a vision about what you will be and where you will go and things you will do and things you will say and not say in order to maintain, as far as you can control it, a very good reputation. Proverbs 22 and verse 1. Solomon put it like this. He said, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." Now, if you had to make a choice between being a billionaire with a bad name or a poor man with a good name, what would you choose? What would you choose? Now, most of the time, we don't have to make a hard choice like that. But if you had to make one, it's just like if you had to choose between your spirit and your body, which would you choose? Well, Matthew 10, Jesus said, choose spirit every time. Put the spirit ahead of your body. Body goes back to the dirt, but the spirit, you know, goes back to God for judgment. So always concern yourself with your spirit more than your body. Well, what about your name? And if you were offered $1 billion, but you would be evil. Now, I'm not saying all billionaires are evil. I don't know any billionaires. So I have no personal experience in that. But if you had to choose going to hell, having had $1 billion, or having had just a paltry sum, but going to heaven, which would you choose? A good name. How does your name stack up as God evaluates all of us right now? If you call the name Seth Sawyer, what's God thinking? Or Ori, or Mason. What is God thinking? What would come to our minds when we think about that? He says, choose the good name. And then that last part, you know, loving favor is better than gold and silver. You know, I was thinking about this a while ago. What if you had a lot of money, and then it came to the time you're an old man and an old woman and you need a lot of care, and your money can buy you a lot of care, but the care you receive is not loving care. I remember one time President Reagan referring to, you know, communistic health care, you know, the compassion of the KGB. Who wants to be in a hospital with nurses that give you the compassion of the KGB? Now, if you could buy a lot of them to come in and help and assist and give you everything that you need, but they don't care. They don't care. And you grow old, I think I would rather have a few people around me, maybe just a few, but who genuinely cared. That means a lot. I can take that into eternity, you know, with fine feeling. Because I died and I could look up and see loved ones and I knew they cared about me and I cared about them deeply. Well, it's right there in the text. So we try the best we can to choose and maintain a good name. Well, 1 Timothy 3:7, when Paul was talking to Timothy about the elders' qualifications, he said they ought to have a good report from those that are without. Those that are without. In 1 Thessalonians 4:12, those that are without, of course, are those on the outside of the church. You ought to conduct yourself inside the church so that those outside, you know, will be affected for good. 1 Thessalonians 4:12, 1 Timothy 3:7. So when he says an elder should have a good report from those that are without, those whose report matters, you know, not the bums out there, not the drug dealers out there, but somebody in the community who has, you know, fine standing, a good civilian out there, whatever, not Christian, but he doesn't have anything against him. You know, he knows you're not putting a criminal into the eldership. You're not putting a wife abuser in there, one who let his kids run all over the town, run wild. And so this idea of a name and a reputation counts for a lot with God. Notice, there is no scripture that says, now before you baptize anybody in Christ, make sure he's got a good name. Now why doesn't the Bible do that? Because you're baptizing people that have been practicing sin. Isn't that interesting? Ever says, now, Mac, be careful now. Don't baptize anybody that's got a bad reputation. Oh my goodness. My goodness. Lord, he repented of his sins. That's what he repented of. We all repented of our sins. Maybe our reputations weren't quite sterling before we became Christians, though we should have had pretty good reputations. We were raised right, especially. But you don't have any qualification like that there. But it's interesting. Strive for a good name. I know that people can talk about you long before you get to their town, and they can ruin your name before you get there, and you not even know that. But you do what you can to maintain a good name. Number two, a good name can become, as it continues to be good, comparatively speaking, it can become inferior to the good name of another. Now, I've known a lot of good people. That's one of the great blessings about being a preacher in the Lord's church. You get to see a lot of people in a lot of places, several states, several countries sometimes. And you get to meet a lot of the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth in so many places. And some of them have good reputations that far excel where or exceed where they are. They're in a local situation, but their name may be somewhere else too. Go to Galatians chapter 2. I want to give two examples of this. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 6. Paul went to the circumcision conference. In the book of Acts, you read about that, as you remember, in Acts chapter 15. He's simply reporting about what happened there in his Galatian letter to the churches of Galatia. But he says when he went to that conference that Luke recorded in Acts chapter 15, he says, I didn't go up there to learn anything from the apostles, the other apostles. I didn't go up there to get news, to get revelation, to get information. I didn't go there. But interestingly, as he talks about that, he says, there were those there who were of repute. Let's come down to verse 6. But from those who were reputed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepted not man's person, they, I say, who were of repute, imparted nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel of the uncircumcision, that is, the gospel of the Gentiles, even as Peter with the gospel of the circumcision, the gospel of the Jews, for he that wrought for Peter under the apostleship of the circumcision wrought for me also unto the Gentiles. And when they perceived the grace that was given unto me, now watch it, James and Cephas, Peter, and John, they who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the Gentiles and they unto the circumcision. Now those men had, I guess you could say, a good reputation, a good name, pillars of the Jerusalem church. There's a lot to be said for that. And there was a lot hanging on that. Somebody giving stabilization and strength to the church. And they were some of those that did that. And then here comes Paul. Think about Paul. Now, if you're a Bible student, you think a lot about Peter. And you remember James and you remember John. I would dare say that most of us would think that likely in time, Paul grew in reputation far above those men. And some would even say that the Apostle Paul was the greatest Christian who ever lived. Some would say that. And perhaps he was. But I'm simply saying, and there's no jealousy, it's just that Paul says, look, they had some names and they were good prominent people and they were worth a lot to the church, but I'm telling you, I didn't go up there to get anything from them. In fact, they finally saw what I already knew. And when they finally got it, they said, okay, Paul, that's right, that's good, and we'll help you. But and as you go out and you preach to these Gentiles, please remember our congregation, because we've got some poor people here. We've got a lot of poor people here. By the way, I wanted to mention this earlier, and I forgot to do it. Michael Hildreth is trying to raise some funds for some Filipino brethren. There's one of the islands over there where he has done work, and their brethren there, and they are in a very horrible drought now. And some people are in danger of actually starving to death. And we've got kinfolk over there. We've got brethren there. And we're going to... I was talking to Randy earlier, and we're going to send some money over there. He says we can send about $2,000 to help in that. So we're glad to be able to assist a little bit. But I'm grateful that we can help. And I'm grateful that God continues to bless us so that we can help situations like that. So they say to Paul, we've got some poor people here. When you go out there, remember. And that's what all that fundraising was about in 2 Corinthians 8 and Romans 15, raising funds basically for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. So he always kept his word along that line. Well, so what I was saying was, you may have a good reputation, and that's great, and you ought to have one. Maybe outdistanced by the reputation of somebody else. Or he may grow in stature. His may be forthcoming. His mind diminishes. Can you live with that? We're not jealous. We're not jealous about those things. We just want to do good. Number three, a man's reputation, his name, may be widespread. Go to Acts 28 and verse 22. Acts 28 and verse 22. Paul has now gotten to Rome as a prisoner. He's meeting with the Jews over there. He's asked them if they've heard about his case. They haven't gotten any word from Judea about him. But they're interested in learning more from him about the church. Now watch this. They don't know much about it, but look at verse 22. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, to them, the church, at this time was just a Jewish sect. And so they call it that. It's a schism. It's something that's broken off of Orthodox Judaism. It is known to us that everywhere it is spoken against. That may not have been an exaggeration. The reputation was widespread. Now, it wasn't accurate. But I'm simply saying that the reputation that you may have at any given moment in your life may be widespread. And back in 1 Samuel 18, a good Old Testament case of this, verses 5 through 9. 1 Samuel 18, 5 through 9. After David had killed Goliath, and the women started singing this song about Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. And Saul heard that, and he didn't like it one bit. He was taken aback. The very idea of a young kid like that getting more magnification in the eyes of the ladies than I'm getting. Slain my thousands. Oh, that ought to mean something. Well, it is something. But now, his name is sort of going down as David's on the ascendancy. David has slain his tens of thousands. My goodness. Amazing thing. And of course, there was all kinds of trouble between the two, as you well know. And then in, let's see. I got the wrong passage right there. That passage went with the second point. And I lost my place on my outline, I guess. The reputation may be widespread. That's the passage is supposed to be Acts 19:35. When I looked down, I looked at the wrong place. You'll have to excuse me. Acts 19:35 is another one of those cases where it may be widespread. This is in Ephesus. They're in the midst of the riot scene. This is the home of Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians, and Paul is the centerpiece of a riot that has broken out, and his brethren have tried to keep him from danger in the earlier portions of this, but it's a horrible mess. And finally, in verse 35, and when the town clerk had quieted the multitude, he said, "Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there who knoweth not that the city of the Ephesians is temple keeper of the great Diana and of the image which fell down from heaven that should be? Seeing then that these things cannot be gainsaid, ye ought to be quiet and to do nothing rash. For ye have brought hither these men who are neither robbers of temples nor blasphemers of our goddess," and so on and so on. But he's saying in effect to the audience, who does not know about Ephesus? Everybody that knows about Ephesus knows we take care of Diana. Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians. And evidently there was some sort of a myth about some image that had fallen down from heaven, and they were holding it and keeping it. And that represented her, I suppose, in some sense. But anyway, it was widespread. Corinth had a name. I've read where even the idea, you put it into a verb form, to Corinthianize. To Corinthianize was to commit sin of great proportion. Not just usual sin, but great sin. To Corinthianize. Imagine, the closest thing we have in America, well, there are two of them. There are two cities. If I call the name of either one of them, you probably would say, well, I want all that I... Because you never hear much else but the bad. San Francisco and Las Vegas. Now, Las Vegas even is known as Sin City. But sin has become a joke. So they've tried to make it family friendly, and they advertise it that way, but it's still known as Sin City. See, sin is nothing. You have to play that down, play family up, but when I think about Las Vegas, I don't think about good things. I think about San Francisco, I don't think about good things. Now, we have brethren in Las Vegas. I'm sure we have brethren in San Francisco. But you never hear of the good coming out of there. Sort of like Nazareth, I suppose. Can any good thing, Nathaniel says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip says, come and see. Well, at any rate, the reputation number four may be inaccurate. Revelation 3:1 to the church at Sardis, Jesus says, "Thou hast a name that you're alive." He says, "But you're not." So your reputation, regardless of what you did to earn it, whether it was intentional or unintentional, it may completely be opposite of what you really are. Sandra June was telling me one day about what she had, some comment she had heard about the Sheffield Church that was completely wrong. Well, there are people that pass on, you know, falsehoods, and then they get built up sometimes and added to, and it gets settled in somebody's mind. And maybe somewhere along the line somebody wants it to be like that. Maybe so they can talk about us. I don't know. Maybe that's the way it works. But I'm saying sometimes you are known a certain way, and it gets set in people's minds for a while, and it has nothing to do with reality. Nothing to do with the truth. Nothing to do with the way you really are. But you have to live through that time. You have to keep on seeing those people out on the streets or at the bank or the post office or whatever when you run into them, and you don't know what all they're thinking and all they're, you know, thinking about as they pass and see you and all of that, and you can't do anything about it. But you just have to keep on maintaining your own decency and character. And one of these days, you know, you may see things change. You may see that. Number five. A name may be something other than expected. And your reputation may develop into something that wasn't expected at all. John 7, verses 14 and 15. When Jesus started teaching in Jerusalem on one occasion, "How knoweth this man letters having never learned?" You see, he rose above what was expected of him. He got no more schooling than normal Jewish boys. How can Jesus, the son of Mary and the legal son of Joseph, how can he talk like this? And then later, how can he do the things that he does? So you can rise above your expectations. You can fall short of your expectations. You can meet your expectations. Somebody can say, yeah, he turned out just like I knew he would. Well, unfortunately, he went to the pen. Wasn't expecting that. He turned out bad. Talking to a fellow yesterday, his son, he said, and he was raised in the church, but he said he went the wrong way. And by the way, he said he went to San Francisco. He said he went the wrong way. So that's sad, to leave your upbringing, to leave the church, to leave salvation. And he went another way. So you can go above your expectations, you can fall short, or maybe you meet them. And then number six, a reputation may be well deserved. It's very possible. Acts 9:13, when the Lord was getting Ananias ready to go meet Saul of Tarsus, Lord, I've heard from many about this man. Well, he's butchered the church. He's come here to this town for this very reason, to get saints. He's a butcherer, in effect. Now, Ananias, I want you to go on and see him. He's a chosen vessel unto me, and I'm going to show him how many things he must suffer. But his reputation was well deserved. That's why in 1 Timothy 1:12, later Paul, 12 through 15, Paul would say, yeah, I can look at myself that way, the chief of sinners. A well-deserved reputation. In his case, it was for the bad. In other cases, it could be for the good. And that's what we're striving for. But it may be well-deserved. And then number seven, while a good name cannot be guaranteed, the character for it can, more or less. Now, as I said earlier, it's true. Somebody can just, you know, drag my name through the mud and do it for years and lie about you in print for years and years and years. And we just have to live with those kinds of things. You cannot guarantee that everybody in the world is going to think highly of you. In fact, if it ever got to that point, you should really question whether or not you've actually stood for anything. Jesus said, you know, that a man ought to be careful when all men speak well of you. That's the way they treated the false prophets. The false prophets made a massive appeal. A lot of people pile on. Oh, that's great teaching. That's great stuff, Rabbi. That's wonderful. Beware when all men speak well of you. But we do want to have a good name as far as we can, but you can't guarantee that. But you can, with the help of God, maintain the good character that's behind a good name, a good character. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Proverbs 3:5 and 6. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. So if you maintain your life, your integrity and your character, you can do that even if somebody does twist your name. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And then finally, a good name can become a disappointing name, either from the viewpoint of the change in character on your part or the change in view on somebody else's part. Have you ever lost friends? I've lost quite a few friends. It's not pleasant. I don't like to be on opposite sides from my friends on issues really that matter most. But I've had to live in the light of lost friends for years. June has too, for years and years. And it's a sad thing when you have a good name and a good reputation with a bunch of people, and all of a sudden you're the devil himself. A good name becomes a bad name. All you have to do is just mention it now. People think of apostasy. Well, I apostatized from the faith years ago because of the lies that are told. That's the way they look. Jesus in John 6:66 had a lot of disciples following Him, traveling around with Him. And all of a sudden He said something one day, And they thought that was nonsense. You have to drink my blood and eat my flesh. And if you don't do that, he says, you have no life in yourselves. And when he brought that up and they didn't understand it, and they just... Many disciples, John reports, stopped following him that day. They were willing to go with him, travel with him, stay with him, listen to him. And all of a sudden, it changed. Just in a moment. And his name didn't mean that much to them anymore. Well, it's a terrible, terrible thing when it's like that. Demas, Philemon 24 and Colossians 4:14, he was a fellow servant. And all of a sudden, Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas has forsaken me. So it works in the lives of people. Our names, our reputations, the way we appeal to others and appear to others changes. And there's a lot of it in life. And even though I cannot control what the other fellow says, I can control what I do. And I can control the way that I look at it. And I want to look at the whole thing from God's viewpoint, from the vantage point of heaven's wisdom, when I think about names and reputations and the way it goes. Not to be disheartened, but to rise above all of that. Not to be discouraged, not to be downtrodden, not to be ruined. See, somebody might say, well, if I lose my reputation, I lose everything. Not if you still got your soul. You may lose your reputation because of the lies. But if you still got the character, you're still a faithful servant. God knows the proper evaluation of my name and yours. And that's what matters the most. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nathanael asked. And Philip said, come and see. And as the record clearly shows, something clearly did. A great thing. A great thing. A stupendous thing. A divine thing came out of Nazareth. Thank you.